Hey, you okay?
Oh, some damn enchiladas. Oh.
You gonna be all right?
Well, everyone, do you know where the latest episode of It's Them Damn Enchiladas, the podcast, is? Well, it's right here. That's right. Episode 72 of It's Them Damn Enchiladas, the podcast, starts now, recording on July 24th, 2023. My name is Adam Griffin. I am joined by Carl Severa, Rob Christie, and podcast producer for the stars, Mark Warren. So, fellas. Today, we're going to be talking about Terrifier and Terrifier 2. But in order to do that, we need to take a look at the bigger picture. What's the bigger picture, you ask? Well, it's seeing a cult movie happen in real time versus being told that something is a cult movie. Now, why would I be bringing up Terrifier and Terrifier 2? That way. Well, Carlos, you are the first person that ever told me about Art Carney. So, my question to you is, before we really get into the nitty-gritty, what's it been like having been there from the very beginning and seeing this character before all the hubbub? Before the big push around Terrifier 1, before this massive swell of popularity surrounding Terrifier 2 and leading into whatever Terrifier 3 becomes, what was it like to kind of see that unfold?
Well, as probably one of the most smartest men on the planet, to me that was just a given. You know, Art the Clown, when I first saw him grace the screens on all Hallows Eve trilogy, not a trilogy, anthology. Art the Clown made a profound impact on my life. Other than before that, up until then, I should say, you know, I reserved for that, you know, those obscure, gross kill scenes only in Saw movies. Like, I had left that only to watch those things happen in Saw movies. But what Art the Clown has become is amazing. From starting off, you know, small little world, and then Terrifier 1. Like you said, all the hubbub around Terrifier 1, I already knew what was happening. Because this dude, Art the Clown, has become one of my favorites. And I'm really happy to see how people are really starting to put, you know, some words up towards him, get his flowers, you know. Damian Leone, get that bag. I'm using some vernacular today, guys. I'm in the know.
You're hip and with it.
I'm hip and with it. But yeah, I'm actually really excited to see how. And after watching Terrifier 2, I'm ready for Terrifier 3.
Indeed, indeed. So yeah, it was not, I think what we need to stress here is that push surrounding Terrifier 2 was not an overnight thing. Overnight, you know, overnight successes are a myth. It took damn near 15 years for Art the Clown to get to that point from his debut in the Ninth Circle short in 2008. So, you know, it's like, you know, stuff doesn't happen overnight. That kind of support doesn't happen overnight. Do you, before we jump to Rob's thoughts in general, do you remember like the exact shift from seeing the short incarnation of Art the Clown, the version that we see of him in the Ninth Circle in All Hallows Eve is a different presentation than the one that Damian Leone is moving forward with in Terrifier and Terrifier 2. Do you kind of remember the feeling of that shift as a fan?
Well, Ninth Circle came out, what, in 2008?
Yeah.
Yeah, so between him being in that short and popping up in Hall Hallows Eve, that was 5 years. Right. So, it's actually really funny because it was a different actor who played Terrifier in the first two appearances, that we should say. So for me, it was a huge jump, coming from the short, coming from the All Hallows Eve, and jumping to Terrifier 1. So I remember I was speaking of Terrifier to anyone who would hear or listen. Art the Clown was legit. And if we do go back to episode 57 of our podcast, where we talked about Terrifier in detail, you remember how enthusiastic I was with this turn of characters. So I was very pleased.
Sounds good. Rob, since you're, it's very interesting, I guess, from your perspective, because not only are you kind of weaving your way into the horror genre as a whole throughout this whole process, but you're also seeing the rise of this character on the fly. So, and like Carlos said, we did go into Terrifier a lot in episode 57. So I guess from a viewer perspective, what'd you think of the jump between Terrifier and Terrifier 2? Because Terrifier 2, to me, Terrifier 2 was the quickest jump I've ever seen a would-be franchise from isolated extreme horror towards horror epic. You know, because Terrifier 2 is a big movie, both in mythology and in presentation. So what did you think seeing that jump in scope from Terrifier 1 to Terrifier 2?
It's Terrifier feels like a movie that got made by somebody who just wanted to make a single movie about Art the Clown and the except for the ending, of course. But for the most part, it's like, okay, someone's making an Art the Clown movie. They don't necessarily believe they'll ever be able to make a second one. So it's just, here's Art the Clown, this seemingly jokey-esque malevolent force from in the very beginning that immediately proves to be nothing even resembling a joke. This is a incredibly murderous force. And then you go to Terrifier 2, it's like, okay, here's still the same malevolent murderous force, but here's at least the beginnings of why and how this force exists. Like, it's very clear by the end of Terrifier that it's not just a man. There's something else going on here. And then Terrifier 2 is like, here's the beginnings of what's going on here. You still never really get into... It's not an origin movie, I guess is the best way for me to describe that. But it feels like they could make... Like, Terrifier 3 could become an origin flick for Art the Clown if they wanted it to. Do we want it to? That's kind of the question.
yeah, I think we're finding out now with franchises in general that it, and this is going to sound harsh, but it's true. It doesn't matter what the fans want, as long as the creators commit and act with care towards the property.
Wait a minute. What do you mean it doesn't matter what the fans think about? Since when? Note the sarcasm in my voice, guys.
Yes, that's sarcasm.
Now, if the fan base cares about what makes money, then the fan base will get what it wants. That's a little bit of a cynicism on my part, I guess, but I don't think it's cynicism that anyone's going to be shocked by. It's like, if you can make your movie and make money, well, then you're going to get another chance to make your movie. Which is, I'll be honest, I'm not sure how the hell Terrifier 2 ever got made. And this is not me. I'm not crapping on the movie. I'm not crapping on Terrifier. It horrified me. But
let's get it. You said it horrified you. Let's go in. Let's talk about it. There was one scene in Terrifier 2, and it's not the one everybody was talking about coming out of it, that got to me, just in the display of it. It's the oh, and I guess of course there's gonna be spoilers, duh. But it is
spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
There we go. Just had to make sure that was in there.
Gotta make sure. Okay, spoiler alert's going. So everyone was talking about. In fact, let's start here and then work. The marketing behind Terrifier 2 was interesting, and I guess it kind of goes back to the to seeing a cult film rise in real time versus being told something as a cult experience. Like we already knew that Art the Clown and Terrifier was a cult experience. But it felt like sometimes we're being told Terrifier 2 was a cult experience. And I mentioned that because of the marketing campaign, viral or not, with all of the pictures of the puke at various movie theaters across the United States. When all the pictures of the puke looked the same, I get a little.
It's because it was they had the same reaction.
Exactly the same reaction.
Exactly, they had literally the same identical reaction.
Everybody pukes at the exact same spot.
Yep.
On the door, running out.
Yep.
They all ate the same thing right beforehand.
Same consistency, same everything.
It was the old nachos.
Old nachos strike again.
Yep.
But you know, it that started, and I'm like, oh, okay. Well, they don't have to do this. Let's see where it goes. So then, the press rollout starts, and everyone's going off about the bedroom scene. The movie got me before the bedroom scene, and not because of what was happening in it, but just the staging of it and who it involved. It was the store clerk scene at the Halloween shop, at the costume shop. Because if you've ever worked retail, just the general tenor of that exchange, all alarms go off, no matter what. They train you. Train might be in quotes because it's retail, but. they train you for circumstances, the first part of those circumstances, how to deal with customers that behave in such a fashion before they start dumping shit out on the counter and messing up your day. So that scene got me just because, you know, that was part of my general conditioning as part of the workforce. Do you think... What's it mean when somebody says in a movie goes too far?
This is a good question, because when you go to, you can go too far.
Right. Oh yeah.
There is a line you can go. I don't think Terrifier went over the line. I think it was everything's really gross. I mean, that's the easiest word I can use. But nothing that was like crossing the line. Not like Rob Zombie putting baby fetuses in the jars. I think that would be, you know, something a little bit more over the line.
Right.
Than what Art the Clown was up to.
Right.
But Art the Clown, man, I don't think you can put any one qualifying feature or there's just nothing good about this guy.
Right. I mean, even the experience itself was like, okay, you know, it's a horror movie, right? You know, it's a supernatural horror movie, right? So from jump, this is going to sound like an obvious statement, but it's all fake. It's not real. like we what? Know this. We know this. So then you start looking for the artistry in what happens. And is it the film's purpose to cross the line? Because if it's all fake, is there a line to be crossed in the first place?
That's a really interesting question. Specifically, if, you know, we all know none of this is happening. Thankfully, we're not watching a documentary. So is there any line? Is there any established line? Go ahead, Griff.
Let's be 100%. There's stuff you don't do, right? There's stuff you don't depict on film. We all know that.
At least stuff you oughtn't depict on film.
Right. And even the stuff in the Terrifier movies, generally well-meaning people know that that's stuff that you don't do. Right.
You don't think it's okay to slowly carve into a person's legs, and after you've pulled off half her face, you think that's maybe not quite okay?
You should ask her. No.
Yeah.
She did.
She asked for it? Damn.
No, I said you should ask first.
Right. Oh, okay.
Oh, I no, I thought you said she asked for it. No.
Oh.
The
there's a line that you don't
like, they had any number of opportunities to do things, and I'm glad they didn't do them.
Yeah.
However, how, like, Terrifier, the first one, y'all know the scene I'm referring. I would say that just if you take Terrifier and you line it up against like every other movie, even every other movie in horror, the bifurcation might have been a step over the line. Might. Now, right. However, nothing that happened in Terrifier 2, as gross as some of those kills were, as awful as Allie croaking out "Mom," that was fucked up still. But, you know, Terrifier 2 laid groundwork that tells me that, or excuse me, Terrifier laid groundwork that tells me that Terrifier 2 did not in fact put a foot over the line.
Yeah.
Because Terrifier was like, we're going to show you this. And then Terrifier 2 was, well, we're going to show you some equally fucked up things. Maybe not equally, but we haven't crossed the line.
You know what it is, Rob, also too, is that Terrifier 2 has somewhat of a plot.
That's true.
That you could actually follow along. So there was actually, I feel like everything that happened in the movie just didn't just happen just for the sake of happening.
Right.
Like, it actually followed.
Not just here's Art the Clown committing the grossest murders we can think of off the top of our head.
Yeah. And we mentioned that one kill in Terrifier 1. Catherine Corcoran, who played Dawn in that scene, has written some amazing and very well thought out articles surrounding her take on that scene and how it's moved throughout various spaces. There's an article up by her at Fangoria and other places. So I think we're going to throw some links in the show description just to keep those there.
Show links.
So Terrifier 2 has more of a plot, obviously, than Terrifier 1. And they've already talked about Terrifier 3 going back to basics after the epic fight staging in Terrifier 2. So what does back to basics look like when basics was already fucked up?
Or are they just gonna say, hey, part two had a plot, we don't need one in part three? Then they could definitely do that. Once you get to the third movie, now you're starting to, let's see if you can keep up with what's happened so far.
Yeah.
Now it's a franchise. Or will it, is it a franchise or will it be a franchise?
It's a franchise.
It's a franchise.
It's a franchise. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially the way the movie ended.
So I was watching on Tubi. Tubi really wants you to go to the next movie in whatever they had, whatever list they've got set up, which in this case would have been Terrifier. So that's amusing. So I had to go back and manually click forward to see the pre-credits sequence, I think it was.
Mid-credits.
Okay, the mid-credits. So the mid-credits stinger. Or is it whatever the hell it's called in that case. But I was just like, oh, shit. It's like, as soon as, spoiler alert, as soon as Art's head got carried off into, you know, nothingness, I was like, okay, well, this movie did pretty well, especially for a, you know, gore fest horror flick monetarily. So they definitely want to make more. And I was like, well, okay, you cut his head off. But, you know, in the first one, he got stabbed in the eye or shot in the eye. I can't remember.
Well, he shot himself.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was very, like, by normal person standards, he was dead as fuck. And then, unfortunately for the coroner, Art the Clown never dies. Or at least, he don't stay dead. That look on his face.
I enjoyed Art more in this movie. Like, you gotta give it up for the actor who plays, I always get his name wrong, Thornton, something.
David Howard Thornton.
Yeah, him. He plays such a good Art the Clown, just with his, you know, his movements, his gestures, his facial expressions and all that. He was cracking me up, honestly. I was laughing through. I have no sense of shame.
I also laughed at what most people would deem inappropriate moments in that movie because of Art just looking at the camera and doing this. It's like, oh no, dude.
Like, let's go back to that the scene in the store. Like, Griff and I both worked retail, so we both know how annoying customers can be when they have no reason to be. They have no reason to be annoying, but they are. And it was just cracking me up when he was harassing her. Not when he was harassing the clerk. When he was playing with the glasses, put on the different sunglasses and and that smile of his. Yeah, I was dying laughing. I was like, this is the best.
Do you think the big jump to an epic story happened too early? Or do you think that the proceedings kind of needed that big shakeup and needed that actual opposing force towards Art the Clown to start, you know, where it did in Terrifier 2?
I mean, let's just very briefly think about all the biggest name killers in horror movies and how they mostly start out having, you know, a nemesis or a, you know, a target that they just cannot kill, no matter how hard they try. Terrifier was like, nah, we don't, fuck that. We don't need plot.
And I should say, since you brought up no plot, Terrifier 1 has a great heroine in Tara, played by Jenna Connell. She is awesome in that movie. Just didn't make it through.
Yep.
but if that character had made it through into the and I mean, now it's a Supernatural franchise. Who knows what's going to happen? But that was a great twist, how she was set up as the foil, and no.
I suppose we should not say Terrifier had no plot. What we should say is that the plot was about 7 or 8 on the list of priorities, the things that movie wanted to get across to the audience. Plot was not incredibly important. Like, it was kind of there, but it was also very, very, very simple. Art the clown tries to kill every single person that crosses his path, especially the people who decide sitting in his lap and making fun of him is a good idea.
Yeah, respect boundaries in general.
Also, you don't mess around with a man in a pizza shop.
No. Pizza shops are for pizza.
Sacred. A sacred space of worship.
I guess to answer the original question, I think they needed to start doing that with the second movie in order to I guess, evolve a little beyond just a cult movie. As much as I'm kind of loath to use that terminology, I guess I just did.
How dare you?
I know.
We weren't ready for that. that wasn't in the pre-production notes.
Yep, nothing on my sheet says Rob will use terminology he didn't want to use.
What are they gonna do? I just am very wondering what the hell they're gonna do in the third movie. Talking about getting back to basics, it's like, oh god, what do you actually mean?
Well, we have this wonderful contraption that some people have it ruined, called the internet. So let's pull up some facts here really quick. I'm going to hop on to Collider.com. We do know that Terrifier 3 is coming out in 2024, which is right on time for the 15th anniversary of when the Ninth Circle went wide in 2009. Even though it was originally released in 2008, some dates have it as being widely released in 2009. So that's where we're at. So it's going to be a bit of an anniversary feel next year, most likely. Let's see. So Terrifier had a budget of $35,000. Then Terrifier 2 had upwards to $300,000. So Terrifier 3, what they're saying here in this article dated on June 17th of 2023 is that Terrifier 3 is going to have a low-mid seven-figure budget. So, okay, that's a substantial increase there.
A little bit.
So, yeah, 2024, it's going to have a wide theatrical release. So, yeah, definitely going to be one to see on screen. Damian Leone has confirmed that it was definitely going to be at least a trilogy. So whether or not it is going to close things out completely or kind of leave some threads open remains to be seen. Let's see here. What else? He's also said that the next few movies are going to kind of delve into the origin and background of the antagonist. Which means, and this is something that is interesting to think about concerning what end up becoming long-running franchises and your antagonist, which is, how much do you reveal? Was Art the Clown ever normal as a person that would refer to themselves as Art the Clown could be? Is his name really Art? Should he ever talk? How far are we going with this? What would you guys want to see as far as origin and backstory? Or as the kids call it now, lore.
Lore. Man. I do want a Art the Clown startup refresher, whatever you want to call it, of his I need to see what made Art the Clown Art the Clown. Is he like the Candyman? Or is he just, is he Michael Myers in a way? You can see that just being pure evil. Art the Clown, I want to find out more about Art the Clown. I need more Art the Clown. If that's what anything needs to be said, is that I need more Art the Clown in my life.
Okay. Rob?
I too am very curious about the actual origins of Art the Clown. Are we going to find out that he was like in some kind of normal life, he was just a clown trying to entertain people? Maybe he had trouble doing that. Maybe he looked like that the whole time he was an actual clown. And say eventually a demon approached him and said, hey, in exchange for your soul and doing my bidding for eternity, I can help you entertain people or something like that. You know, they could go, I feel like they could kind of go as serious or frankly as silly as they want to with it, because none of that's going to change what Art the Clown is now. Give you some insight as to maybe why he is that now, but I hesitate to say this aloud. I don't think they can ruin Art.
Right. Right.
But now if they do, it's my fault. So
yeah.
I knocked on wood, don't worry. We're good. We're covered. Because that's the last thing that'll make me so upset.
Yeah.
When they mess up Art the Clown.
We can't have Carlos be upset over Art the Clown.
We don't need there to be Terrifier Part 9. Art takes Poughkeepsie. Or whatever.
You don't need Rob Zombie presents Terrifier.
And part nine is Art goes back to hell.
Oh yeah.
And then he goes back to hell. And then he has to deal with a bounty hunter named Clayton Dank for some reason.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Just another
character. I was like, what is his name, Clayton Duke? I was like, wasn't his name Creighton Duke?
Yeah, of course. I had to change it up.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
What you did there. He could be in two franchises.
He could, but...
He's mad enough to be in both franchises.
Nobody would be that brave until I get some power in the world.
Shame.
It's coming. Damian Leone has also said that he already knows what the next bedroom kill scene is going to be, and not necessarily a verbatim bedroom kill scene, but the next scene that will be talked about, like the bedroom kill scene. And like I said in the beginning, that wasn't even the scene that got me. So, holy shit, what's this dude cooking up? Also returning is Santa Saw, played by Lauren Levera. And that's great too, because like we said, you know, Terrified 2 is the epic of the story. And when those two characters first faced off, like, you felt it. Like, you don't get that kind of confrontation between two franchise characters until like movie four or five. And they busted this out in part two. So what do you guys think about where that character can go? Will there be, now that we've seen that there's this opposing force to art that can manifest itself in this almost biblical-like figure, this biblical-like opposition to whatever evil Art the Clown represents, does this franchise get more characters like Sienna? Or do we just see more cannon fodder with Sienna trying to go back into this fight?
What will happen or what we hope will happen?
Maybe a little bit of both. You know, what does a franchise do when you now oppose this level of an opposing, when you now introduce this level of an opposing force?
I think there's, I mean, well, he already said that part three is going to have Sienna back.
Yeah.
So we're assuming that she has taken the role of this, I don't know, good knight, like the epic tale of a hero. I think she can definitely already have it. Yeah, she's badass in this movie. Like, can't take that away from her. Like, she was, when she, you knew Art was in for some trouble with this young lady. So I hope, still, since they will be keeping her around, I hope that we get more, because they just threw it all together about the father drawing the sketchbook and keeping all that other stuff. There's got to be some more behind that.
Right.
Because we really didn't even uncover any of that. We just, you know, they just ended up fighting each other. And then what we can take as out of the book, out of the sketchbook, is this something that her father knew about, making it more interesting and, you know, more background to her? Because he drew everything. He drew this. He drew Art the Clown. He drew her in the armor that she was going to be wearing to defeat Art. So no, I'm anxious to see what they do with her.
Yeah, because it's like with the introduction of that kind of character, seeing. That's why the push that they're going back to bases is interesting to me. Because to me, back to basis means, okay, we're back to cannon fodder. Unless we get the emergence of another character in this kind of role, then it becomes something else. You know? Like, are we talking time skip? Like, how far does third movie go? You know? Lots of interesting things that they can do there, I think.
No, I mean, we still have Jonathan. Look, that character exists and is not completely broken by Terrifier 2, maybe.
Jonathan falls into the same little quibble I have with Hereditary. In the fact that they describe a young child as being a little bit odd, but whatever they said, to kind of dismiss the fact that she's sitting out there cutting off heads of dead birds with scissors, right?
Yeah.
Jonathan kind of falls into that same aspect.
So why do you got to remind me of Hereditary?
I'm framing it just so you know where I'm coming from.
I know that movie fucked me up.
You're still not over that?
No. Hell no. No, how do you? It's like, that stuff sticks with you, man. Like the visual. We're talking about Terrifier. we keep saying like the plot's whatever, the plot's throwaway. There's still like there's still interesting characters, but the visuals from that movie stay stuck in, at least they stay stuck in my brain. I don't know about the two of you, but it's like I can definitely still call certain images from that movie to my brain whenever I want, because they're just there.
That's yeah, a good John, thing. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that's a good thing.
Yeah. So Jonathan kind of sits in that same brain space as the daughter from Hereditary. Because he's kind of being trifling around the wrong stuff. Fixations. His fixations didn't inspire any kind of empathy in me whatsoever, you know? And
that's fair.
Those characters are very hard to root for. I don't give a shit if you're a kid. You should know better. Right?
He's a kid.
He's a kid, yeah. Fixated on what?
He's a little creepy. Art. I ain't gonna lie. Yeah. That kid was a little creepy.
Yeah.
And every time it was about to get like killed, I was like, wait for it.
Like, come on.
Come on.
Luckily for Jonathan, just had Art trying to eat his Achilles tendons instead.
Yeah. He slashed him on the face. And then apparently that was like the slash from hell, because Jonathan kept on like grabbing his face while he was doing everything else to him. I'm like, really? He's cutting you rush your body and all you gotta do is grab your face.
Yeah, that's a good point, because he whipped the shit out of that kid. It's like,
I was like, what is going on here?
I was like, well, you know, he's a kid. I'm like, well, yeah, but it's Art the Clown, and he was looking at that dumb shit earlier. So I don't... it was like, toss up.
I think what we're saying is Art the Clown says, fuck them kids.
It's like, is Art doing me a favor here? I don't know.
He didn't, though, because Jonathan survives.
Yeah, yeah.
They can bring that character back.
That framing just kind of stood out to me. It's like, I don't want to root for this kid.
It was like Bob all over again.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck Bob.
Fuck Bob. You, Bob.
And if you don't know what we're referencing, it's Bob.
It's Bob. Watch House by the Cemetery.
Watch House by the Cemetery.
And hate Bob along with us.
I can't see any other result from people watching that movie. Just you're gonna hate Bob. I'm sorry. Those are the rules.
So here's something I guess we can kind of wind down with, just general thoughts for the future. If it hasn't happened already yet, what does the landscape of horror movies look like once Art the Clown goes mainstream? Because if we're not in that moment right now, it's coming next year. Right. So what does it look like when this kind of character goes mainstream? Will we have an influx of people not really getting the point and just trying to cash in with their own creations? Or do we get a resurgence of some older icons that kind of want to show how it's really done?
I hate to hit you with the yes answer, but I'm going to hit you with the yes answer. Because you will absolutely get a combination of people trying to make their own Art the Clown and completely missing the point. You'll get a few people trying to make their own Art the Clown who get the point and will actually succeed. And my hope is that you also get the resurgence of some older characters along with that. Preferably from the people who get the point of both Art the Clown and whatever old character or franchise they want to revive, for lack of a better term.
Well, if they're going to do it, I guess now's the perfect time as any, because we are in such a... we have a little bit of a drought, a little emptiness with Halloween having ended. And now there's not really any other major like horror films out there. I mean, we're going to get the new Insidious, which will be the next, you know, part of that collection. But what else? Who else will be awoken by Terrifier? Like, what other franchise will finally decide to make a new entry into their, to the library? Yeah, I hope so. I mean, you got to, as a film, as a filmmaker, how do you like that? As a filmmaker, you want to test the boundaries of what you can and can't do. You just want to, you want to get your point across. If people are going to start making films just to make the films, then that's the problem. But like you said, if the people who get what the point is and create their own little piece of the universe, I'm all for it.
Sounds good. That's right. Yes, we are all for people. Let's do the pun. We're going to do the pun. Y'all ready? You ready? We are all for people making their own art.
God damn it. Like, I knew it was coming. Didn't really. God damn it.
Couldn't get out the way.
Couldn't get out of the way. No matter how fast that's, you know, train was coming, I couldn't get out the way.
Told you I was going to happen.
Hit me right in the forehead.
Yeah. What else is going to happen is that we're going to close things out for this episode. But next time, we're going to be talking about Spiral and Jigsaw, because we said there wasn't a lot coming, but there's still a little bit left. New Saw's coming up, so we got to revisit some old stuff before we talk about what's in the new stuff. Also, folks, keep in mind, this podcast is just a conversation. We're not sponsored by anybody. We have no connections to anybody whatsoever. We're just three dudes and a producer talking about comics. Yeah, we talk about comics, talk about horror movies, talk about various beverages. Talk about what we want, and we do support people getting equal pay, fair pay, being well compensated for their labor. The Writers Guild of America and Screen Actors Guild are currently on strike to get the money that they deserve for future projects to be paid fairly. It's something that is very important for the general progress of the world. People get paid fairly for their labor. In order to support the strikes that are going on right now, the work stoppage in the entertainment arts. And if you're interested in learning more, please head to the Entertainment Community Fund at entertainmentcommunity.org. Like I said, this podcast, not affiliated with any studios. We're just dudes having a conversation, and we're sharing that conversation with you. And we do support the strikes currently in place by the WGA and the Screen Actors Guild. But with that being said, this has been episode 72 of It's Them Damn Enchiladas podcast. All of our handles in the show notes, pertinent info in the show notes. Read the show notes and prepare yourselves for the next episode. Like, we'll be going into Spiral and Jigsaw and all things Saw related. So until then, thank you for listening, and we'll see you all next time. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Later.